How can you increase your ARPC by 26%?
Welcome to You Are Buzzworthy.
There are a myriad of marketing consultants out there that cover the art of milking your customer for more money at every point of the sale. While many have good intentions, my perspective focuses on win-win situations throughout the transaction. My philosophy is increasing the average value of each client. And it's based on creating more value for them. When you find an honest way to do this, you will have raving fans for life with crazy repeat clients and high referral rates. In this episode, I discuss the core practices I use to increase average revenue per client. Let's do this. Welcome to another episode of You Are Buzzworthy. I am your host, Buzz, and today we're going to be talking about average revenue per client. So if you haven't been keeping up, the last three episodes were about the rule of 26, how to increase your website traffic by 26%, how to increase your conversion rate by 26%. And today we're going to wrap this little segment of the season with average revenue per client. How can you increase your ARPC by 26%? But before we dive into that, let's understand why is ARPC so important. So far we've talked about traffic, and without traffic, you don't have any business, you don't have any clients that can come to your business, right? And then we just recently talked about conversion rates. And if they don't convert from your website, you have no prospects to sell, right? So your average revenue per client is something that happens after the sale, right? So today's not going to be as much about digital marketing as it is about the value you bring and what you're paid for that value, okay? So ARPC is very important because it is what you get paid. And if you can improve how you get paid, you don't have to sell more people, okay? That is huge, right? If we don't have to make more, if we don't have to do more, right? If we don't have to produce more, if we don't have to sell more and still make more money, and our clients are happy for it, well, that's pretty important to me. So let's talk about how we can improve our ARPC. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard me live or seen me live, but if you have, and we've talked about average revenue per client in the past, guess what? The first thing I always talk about is bill what you are worth, okay? My story is based in the lack of average revenue per client. For 13 years, I undercharged for what I was worth. And I'm one of those people who, when I produce something, I produce it at the best of my ability, right? I don't know how to do things on the cheap when it comes to producing things for my clients. We started out as a media production studio, right? We had audio, video, graphic, web, print, the whole nine yards, everything under one roof. And in every department, we produced the best we possibly could with the talent that we had. Unfortunately, I had a really bad bout of imposter syndrome. And because we didn't have really fancy offices and all the other stuff, I didn't think we could charge as much as some of the bigger agencies, right? And so for years, I undercharged, which meant I had to be, as one person told me, the Costco of marketing. Because you go to Costco, you get good things, but you do it in bulk. And that's what we did. We got clients in bulk, and that's how I made money. And actually, technically, didn't even make all that much money. We brought in a lot of money, but I did not keep a lot of money. And that's why I'm so passionate about what you're charging each of your clients versus what you're producing for each of your clients, right? In 2018, I actually shut down a multi-million dollar creative agency because I had built it on the wrong premise, okay? I had built it on a premise that if we just keep selling, I will eventually make money, okay? what I'm worth. We were bringing in millions of dollars in revenue, and I was keeping less than six figures. All said and done. Yes, entrepreneurial poverty. Okay. Was I on the streets? No. Was I going hungry? No. But was I getting paid what I was worth for the amount of time, energy, and effort and talent that I was bringing to the table? Absolutely not. And you shouldn't either. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book. It's really one of the main reason I have this show. Okay. So that's a big piece of ARPC is first billing what you're worth. One of my clients that I helped out just a couple of years ago, it was a fractional CFO. He still is a fractional CFO. Okay. And he was just starting out. He had just exited a big company, had a bunch of money, and now he wanted to do what he did for that company over and over. Right. And so when he came to me, he was all scattered with his marketing and all these things not working for him. Right. But what my biggest concern when we started out was the fact that he was going to be a fractional CFO for a mere $1,500 a month. Now, that screamed to me because I used to have fractional CMO, fractional chief marketing officer services starting at $500 a month. So, but that was like 10 years prior with inflation and everything like that. And the technical know-how of a CFO versus a CMO, I think CFOs get paid a little bit more than CMOs. But regardless, $1,500 was too cheap. Okay. So we needed to take a look at his framework and make sure that we made that framework solid so people could understand the value brought to the table. And once we did that, okay, we called it financial resource optimization. Okay. FRO. And once we figured out everything they were going to bring, he now requires a $50,000 down payment from his clients, his new clients, and has a $5,000 a month retainer, and people pay it gladly. I think he's actually, last time I talked to him, he's actually going to be bumping that up to 6,000. So he's going to take a 20% bump in what he was doing because he's signing them on so easily. They're seeing the value. And we're talking about million-dollar companies, multi-million-dollar companies. The guy works with $3 to $50 million contractors, right? So yes, they need a lot of expertise. And the tweaks he makes them, guess what? He guarantees that 50K. He guarantees that he will pay for himself on that 50K or he gives it back. Okay. So it's not about just saying, oh, well, I just need to bill more money or, you know, charge more. No, you need to be bringing value, right? Like I said in the intro, if you bring real value, people will pay you for what you're worth, right? So the way that you can do this is not necessarily just start increasing your ARCP by 26% with new clients. Okay. With your current clients, like they're not going to just pay, right? What we did with the fractional CFO is that we increased his rate by like 300, something, almost 300%, right? So, but if it was you, what you could do is just start charging 26% more to your new clients, right? Now, with your current clients, you're going to have to build some more value. And we'll get there in a second. But if you're under billing, okay, right now, just be honest with yourself. Could you charge more? Will the market bear a 26% increase? Now, for a lot of you, we're talking $10, maybe $25 an hour more, okay? In the grander scheme of things, you can find a way to show the value of $10 to maybe $20 more an hour, okay? Now, if you're really high, like you're over $200 an hour, yeah, now we're starting to talk about $52 and more an hour. But if you really think about it, that's not that hard to justify if you are, one, in the middle of your market, right? If you're at the super top of it, it's going to be something that you need to look at. But most of the people that I talk to, that I run across, that are reading this book and listening to the show, they're still working way below what they should be working for. Okay. So look at what your rates are right now. You have just had inflation just happen. I mean, you can use inflation as an excuse to be bringing your rates up. We raise our rates by at least 3% every year with our current clients and our new clients, right? And this coming year, because of the last 2 years, we're actually going to be increasing that by 10% just to keep up with inflation. Because when you don't even do that, guess what? You're now eating into your own ability to keep any of the money you're collecting, because you still have to pay your employees. You still have to pay the increasing cost of doing business and all those other things. So make sure that you're keeping up with it. It's not just once, but as an ongoing. So 26% might be just a magic number. All of a sudden we're done. You can push stop now. But you know, most of us need to take a look at a little bit deeper, right? Okay. So really the key to getting everyone on the same page for your new prices. Okay. So if you're charging $50, 26% is going to be $13. You need to be charging $63. Okay. If you're at $100, you need to be at $126. Okay. That's what we're looking at. So a good a way of looking at it is, what is your competition charging, right? If you're charging what everybody else is charging, guess what? You can charge 26% more and just frame it as you're worth it, right? If you're the premium, okay? Because you put yourself in the middle, you're not the cheapest, you're not the most expensive. You put yourself in the middle, you're competing with everybody else. If you bring your prices up a little bit, guess what? That right there makes you a premium. And then people ask, well, why are you more expensive? Well, if you have good answers to that, it's a real easy sell, because people will buy better. They want the best. And if they can afford it, if it's only $13 an hour more, if it's only $26 an hour more, your best clients are going to pay it because they see the value you bring. So make sure that you bring that to the table every time and then get everyone on the same price. Okay. That's one of the things I see clients try to do, is like, well, we'll just keep our grandfathered people in. SaaS is worst about it, but that's another story. And they have a different pricing structure. For service-based businesses, though, you need to increase everybody's price at some point. Okay. So I'm going to give you a story real quick. I had a client, she was a graphic designer. Her name is Erica. Okay. And she did flat rate pricing. Okay. And so when we were talking about, like, well, you need to increase your price, she was way undercharging. Okay. Just too modest, right? It's like, hey, listen, your graphic designer is art. These people are going to make millions of dollars off of what you're doing. You got to charge what you're worth, right? So, but she had this flat rate. The problem was, is that in the flat rate, what she did is she figured out how, little some people use her and how much some other people. She did an average, cost averaged everything, and said, yes, I can make a profit if I just charge X amount of dollars. Okay. Problem was, is that about 6 or 7 months into it, she found out that 70% of her clients were utilizing the maximum amount of time she offered for that. That meant that she only had 30% of her bandwidth left to offer to new clients, which meant at some point she was going to have to hire more people. Problem is when you hire more people, there's more overhead, right? There's more headaches, management. There's all these other things that go into hiring more people, right? So it's not scalable. Because it's just, you're going to grow yourself broke at some point. Okay. I know, because I did it. I had 22 employees because we kept just adding people. Okay. So I told Erica, I said, listen, what you need to do is have a tiered program. And so we created a tiered program that allowed her to have some of her clients at one level. So those 70%, they were the 70% that were sucking up all of her bandwidth, we put them into an echelon, or we offered them another echelon and said, hey, listen, you can have this over here because you need it, right? But we're raising our rates, period. So either you get on board or you don't, right? And sometimes you just have to do that. But what we did to help soften the blow is we said, hey, listen, we're going to be raising our rates in 90 days, okay? Regardless of whether you go to the next tier. Right. So if you stay here, the rates are going to go up. Now, because you're a client, current client, we're not going to do it for the until the next cycle, because she builds on a quarterly cycle. Okay. But then she offered it to where we said, hey, listen, if you pay for your next year, then you can continue it up to 23 months. Because if you're brand new on your annual, right? So if you're paying for an annual and you renew now, then that means you're going to be good for 2 years. Okay. That worked really well with some of the clients that are price sensitive. Nice thing is, in 2 years, she'll have replaced them. So if they don't renew at the end of those 2 years, it's okay. All right. So when we're increasing prices, isn't an option. Okay. I'm going to move on from that. I think I belabored that. When we increase price is not an option, excuse me, then we bundle. Okay. I'm going to give you a quick story here of what bundling looks like. All right. I had a water delivery service in Anchorage, Alaska. And they, in downtown Anchorage, they have old pipes, old iron pipes. And with them, you get this really cloudy water and rust is in it and all this other stuff. And so they did really well with that. But the problem was, is that, you know, there's only so many businesses in downtown Anchorage. Okay, it's a small space right there. And the further they get away from the downtown, the more gas and all this other stuff. So it's really profitable for them to keep all their clients in a concentrated area, right? So we started looking at what else do they need from us? What besides water goes, could we bundle with them? Well, when you're thinking about offices, you know, it's a downtown area, what goes with water? But coffee? Yeah, you're either drinking water or coffee at the office, right? So we worked with a local roaster and we added coffee as an option for their delivery. So every time they got water, they could get coffee. And guess what? With their current clients, it was a hit. The great thing about this is that they didn't have to discount it, because it was just another service, right? But the clients saved time, energy, and money because they didn't have to have two vendors and it was one delivery. So they only had to process that and pay one bill, right? So the convenience was there. For my client, they were already going to those locations. So it was just a matter of adding another product into the vehicle before it left, right? So couple boxes of that, boom, 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 done, done, done. And now they have that new service with their existing clients, which if you know anything about the economics of clients is it takes 7 times more effort to get a new client than it is to keep your current clients. And if you can keep your current clients at a higher average revenue per client, woohoo, that is a beautiful thing, right? Okay. So if the client saves time, energy, and money, and you save time and money in acquisition, and you save money in the cost of services because you're already serving them, whew, that's pretty powerful. So what can you do with your current clients that and add on to what you're doing? Okay, that's a bundle, right? That bundling right there is gonna increase your average revenue per client. Now, the secret is not to discount services when you're bundling, okay? Don't say, well, we're going to give you two and then we're going to give you this discount. I used to do that all the time, man. That's, I think, how we got down to like $500 a month for basically marketing consulting, social media, and SEO. I think like we would do three things for $500 a month. It was the stupidest thing. I don't know what I was thinking, but we won't go into the psychoanalyzation of that right now. But really what I'm talking about, what I want to get back to is that the fact is that the people, if they're saving time, energy, and money, you are giving them a discount in that right there, right? The money they're saving is the amount of time that they have to spend, right? Because time is money, okay? If you make it easier for them to get more things, woohoo, that's a beautiful thing, right? Why do you think Amazon has the reoccurring orders, right? It makes it easy. You don't have to remember, right? I go through every Y months. Okay. So I'm just going to set that on a reoccurring file so that it comes right about when I'm running out of the next one. Okay. That's subscription services. That's great. So for service-based businesses, we do that all the time, right? Reoccurring revenue, monthly reoccurring revenue or quarterly reoccurring revenue. We're already doing that. So what we have to do is find ways to add to that. Okay. But we do not discount, because you can't deliver 100% of what you are worth if you don't bill 100% of what you are worth. Let me say that one more time. You can't deliver 100% of your capabilities if you don't bill 100% of what those capabilities are worth. Okay. Let's move on to upselling and cross-selling, because this is another great way to increase your average revenue per client. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple of different ways of doing this. Okay. One, if you're a service-based businesses, like for us, we have some DIY software. Okay. So if people don't, you know, they have more time than money, they're going to do it themselves. Right. But if you can upsell somebody to maybe a done with you, so they have the platform and you help them, maybe you coach them or anything like that, or maybe you're coaching already, but then you can go to a done for you. It's like, hey, you know, I'm coaching you. You're too busy to get it done. What if I just did it for you, or my team did it for you, hopefully. And then you sell them to that, right? So now you're upselling them there. Maybe you're taking, you have a masterclass that you're doing, and then you upsell them to consulting, right? Cross-selling is more profitable, is very profitable as well. So what you want to do in cross-selling is, let me give you an example. So like insurance, okay? A lot of insurance companies, you would think that all they want to sell you is PNC. So like vehicle insurance, car insurance, right? Because that's all you see on television most of the time. But the more lucrative stuff is like life insurance and financial advisory stuff and stuff like that, right? That's where they make money, right? But you also hear them talk about like bundling. Well, what they're doing is they're actually upselling to it, right? So the secret here is that you need to look beyond your current services, okay? And look at the current solution that you're providing right now. What is that pain that you're alleviating, right? Because with every solution, and we get beyond that pain, creates a new pain. So if you look at your current solution as a way of creating, well, it's not a way of, it just ends up creating a new problem. So let's look at what that new problem is, right? So for me, I create more prospects for people, right? So they can sell, okay? Sometimes that means that they get too many prospects, right? And so the new problem is that we have a mix of quality in prospects. And so then I solve that problem, right? So that we can now look at, we just talked about it here just a couple minutes ago, how we bring it down to say, hey, listen, let's just get the creme de la creme on the top, right? The top, best, most profitable clients. We just want them, and we want to shush all the rest of the people, right? So that is a new problem. We solve that through conversion rate optimization, okay, which we talked about last episode, okay? So with that said, you need to take a look at your business and say, what is the current solution that you are providing right now, right? What new pain does that create? Now cross-sell over to, hey, I provided this solution here. Now you have this, do you have this other problem now? Well, why don't we do that as well? Okay. So it's a little bit of bundling, but it's, you're cross-selling to it because you're showing that they're there. Okay. Now, another way you can increase your ARCP or ARPC is exclusivity and scarcity. Okay. Now, an easy one that everybody always talks about is a loyalty program, right? But a loyalty program really means you're going to discount. And we already just talked about you can't discount. We should not be discounting. Shall not, you should put it on your wall. I shall not discount my services, right? Because you love your company. You love paying your people what you're worth. You should be getting paid what you're worth, right? So loyalty programs, while for products can be very good, for service-based businesses, not so much. What we need to be looking at is stuff like inner circles, right? One of my friends owns a coaching company, right? And him and his wife help people sell from stage, right? And so I actually attended one of their live events, right? And it's like a two-day workshop that they work you through. And about 60% out of that workshop buy into a $15,000 coaching program. Nothing special about that. But the exclusive thing that they brought in was then they offered five $5,000 one-to-one inner circle slots, okay? They came with some breakfast and some other stuff, exclusivity and scarcity at the same time, okay? So that means that they got 33% more from those five people. Now, out of the 60% of the people in the room, say there was about 50. That means there was 40 there. Out of those 40, you had those eight, those five in there, right? So about 15% ish, right? About 15, 16%. You can yell at me on social media if I got the numbers wrong right there. But that meant that they increased their average revenue per client on average, right? They got that 33% was right there. Okay. So you can look at this in a many different ways, but one-to-one inner circles and one-to-one coaching, if you have like one-to-many coaching, having those inner circles is a super easy way to do that, right? I mean, I know technically it's an upsell, but that scarcity is a big deal. I had another client, her name was Mikola. She was a fashion consultant, and she would sell a $10,000 all-in package where she would come to your house. She would sell, she would basically wipe out your entire closet of all your old clothes. And then you guys would go on a shopping spree. Now you paid for your own clothes. She would help you get the right clothes for your shape, your color, all of that. Okay. And then you were done. But now she was married. She had a kid. She couldn't do this all the time because she had to travel all the time for this. Right. So she only offered 10 a year. Now, some people would say she charged a lot, but you're not charging a lot when 80% of your clients refer you another client. She didn't have to market once we got her all set up, right? Because her referral rate was so high, her marketing is only having to replace 20% of those 10. So she only need her marketing only had to sell 2 a year. Not a lot of marketing to do that, right? So think about ways that you can create something that is either exclusive or create some scarcity for something that takes a lot of time. Bill high for that, okay? So I know we're running out of time today. So last one I will mention is intrinsic value, okay? Remember, you don't have to offer more to charge more, okay? Kind of alluded to this at the beginning, right? Just charging 26% because you can show 26% more value, perceived value, okay? Now, what do I mean by perceived value? If somebody's saving time, there's a perceived value. If somebody doesn't have to do something they don't want to do or expend energy that they'd like to expend energy somewhere else, that creates perceived value. If they save or make money, really is the best one. When you can make people more money, there's a perceived value to that investment. And the last one is prestige. If they pay more, they get that prestige, right? Why do you think everybody has a VIP room at every summit you go to? Okay. It's because there's one, exclusivity, but two, prestige. I have a VIP pass. I am important. Very important person. That's what VIP stands for. So there I am. I must have it, right? Now, is it worth it? I think so, right? And you need to look at that as what can you show worth in one of those time, energy, money, or prestige places, okay? So increasing your ARPC is more foundational marketing, right, than it is digital. Following through with what you promise will define longevity of your business, okay? So let me say it one more time. Following through with what you promise will define longevity of your business, okay? All of this stuff about price is backed by what you bring to the table ultimately as a service, okay? If you have a crappy service, charge crappy, get better because you can't afford to charge crappy prices. Okay. So when we talk about billing what you're worth, be honest with what you're worth, find out who will pay for what you're worth. Okay. Don't worry about the people who say no to you. Those people are just not your people. You just haven't found them yet. Okay. The biggest thing though is this: your reputation is all you have. So always under promise and over deliver. Okay. The power of increasing your ARPC is so massive. I hope I have been able to show you how important it is to build what you're worth and find ways to increase that revenue per client so that you don't have to have the 300 clients I used to have, right? I have at least about half of what I used to have, and I keep more money now. And get this, I produce better services because we're charging what we're worth, meaning that I can pay people great people what they're worth, and we can put the time in it takes to get my clients those results. And you can too for your business, right? Okay. So if this, you know, after all of these three, these last three specifically, these last three that we talked about, traffic, conversions, and ARPC, right? If that seems like a lot to you, and I know I've thrown a lot at you guys, these episodes have gone long, but it's just a lot of stuff that I need to share with you. And we'll dive deeper into pieces of these over the next episodes. But if you don't like want to do it on your own, but you're not in the right space to have like an ongoing consultant, look at my R26 intensive coming up, because what we're going to do is do a 2-day workshop where we're going to workshop each of these three plus create a roadmap to profit for each person in the room. It's the R26 intensive. You can check it out on my website, r26i.com. You can get a 20% discount just for being a listener of this show by using the coupon code YABP when you get approved to go. If you missed the last two episodes, go back and listen to them now and subscribe to the show so you don't have to miss another episode. And until next time, stay buzzworthy. Gotcha.